morning, everyone. This presentation is going to be based on simulation approach. Here, the approach is a little bit different. We've seen mentioned to models so far. It's been more in the sense of having some sort of decision support system built around models. Our concern here in the region is to look at impact of climate change, and as a previous speaker was mentioning also what mitigation could come from agriculture to climate change, and on a regional basis. We're facing the need to look at this at that kind of large scale and have an idea of the direction of trends. Our region is quite a different region to anything we've seen here today, where it has been a lot of focus on Midwest type of agriculture. This is very different. Washington State has 100 plus commodities, because we have a significant irrigated area with probably as much agriculture diversity, probably second just to California there. And then toward the eastern part of the state, we have dry land agriculture with very steep precipitation gradients, which make it very challenging to understand the changes because the variation is fairly large. Let me see if I get this right. Now, no-till has been kind of slow to be adopted in the region. We're not gonna get into detail why that might be the case. And certainly has been a lot of interest in fostering that adoption because of erosion being a significant issue in dry land areas and the kind of topography, you know, rolling hills that we have in that area. Now, those that have adopted are thinking, well, we're not only protecting the soil, but maybe we have some advantage in terms of carbon sequestration and compared to the conventional tillage. And the intention here is kind of look at that question. And some aspect of the question has to do with the effect of redistribution when you have conventional tillage with plowing that it goes to, you know, deep. And then you have the fact that perturbations due to tillage, what is the impact on the oxidation rates of organic matter? And then being mentioned in most of the topic here today, how the nitrogen management plays a role in all of this. This is a model we've been using. We've been developing this for more than 15 years now. And so there's a number of tools that you're interested in finding information about CropSys. You can just type CropSys in Google and you're gonna get more information probably you care about. In order to make progress, to start looking more closely to the carbon picture, we decided to simply adopt. There's plenty of models out there. So in the last few years, we included, as other cropping system models have done, existing model with looking at the Bird Van and the Century models. We look at that essentially and adopted the multi-pool system that they have. In the case of denitrification, when using the approach that Del Grosso and co-worker have done for also for the Century model. And this is just some, if you want, evaluation of the model. This has been done with the Century model, also with the same long-term data at Pendleton, which is nearby the area of interest. So what we're looking here is, as you see, a very significant gradient in terms of precipitation from 250 millimeters, very different to numbers of 800, 900 that I've seen presented here. So very, very dry conditions to probably about the best conditions we have around the region, which is give us about 550 millimeters on average. We're looking at the CT here correspond to conventional tillage. We're looking at reduced tillage, which is the only alternative in some of these very low rainfall areas. And then we're looking at also no-till in areas with some more precipitation. The rotation here is winter wheat, spring fallow, so in the very dry, you have only a crop every other year. when you have some more precipitation, you can have two crops in 3 years. You have fallow every, 3 years. And then you have continuous cropping in the higher rainfall area there. So essentially, we are in the process here. What we did was just to sort of initialize all these runs by running for, by a long-term simulation with conventional tillage until reaching a steady-state equilibrium that allow us then to specify the organic matter in equilibrium with the input of residue and the partitioning among those different pools that you saw before. After we reach that steady state, then we apply a perturbation, either reduced tillage or no till in this case, and then we specify the difference between the conventional and the new management to see if there is any differential there. The effect of tillage, we have some element published based in USDA and in our CS type of field operations that allow us to determine essentially a tillage factor, and that then applies to the oxidation rates that you have for different pools. And then we added to that high oxidation just to see what we do if we increase that oxidation. In the model, you can do anything you want, so we almost double the effect of that tillage in terms of short-term oxidation just to see what that would do. When we look at the situation in terms of the first 15 centimeters in the soil, and you'll see that these are expressed in megagrams of CO2 equivalent per hectare per year, the only place we have relatively high accumulation levels would be in the high rainfall, relatively high rainfall area, very little in the dry. And the upper oxidation, this is in putting artificially more oxidation into the system, it produced some more delta gains for being no-till compared to a conventional, but it's really not that significant. And that gives us some confidence that, you know, we're in a range where the numbers that we find, we can have some confidence about what they are. But this is a point here. When you go to 30 centimeters, these are the same scale. So you're there, same scale. But what, now we're going to look at the 30 centimeters, not just to 15 centimeters down. There is quite a bit of decrease in amount that you can actually store in the soil. And this is an important point because many times we see these deltas expressed in terms of surface samples, samples that are. Sometimes I've seen samples even less, just 10 centimeters compared till versus no till. That's really not a fair comparison. You really need to go deeper because you're mixing residues in the conventional tillage while you not have that effect when you have no till. But nevertheless, you have the residue input coming to that depth in the soil. So we see some clear advantage going to no-till in terms of carbon accumulation only in the higher rainfall areas. It's very relatively minor in the other areas. Now, this is the point other people have been doing, that when you look at the nitrogen emission, these are the same units, again, expressed in megagrams of CO2 equivalent per hectare per year. And you see that you're getting numbers here, and we'll compare later, that are within the same range of storage that we have in the best conditions. So essentially, N2O emissions are negating the storage of CO2 if you want to play that element. And there are all kind of discussion about if you should or should not. The bigger here, and you have this error bar. It's not the error bar, but that's the variability that is given by the IPCC emissions. And in our area are much higher. If you apply the IPCC coefficients, you get emissions that are much higher than we have simulated from one side, but also observed. We have some observations, not too many, but enough to give us a range or a sense of where we are with those values. And the IPCC really come up pretty high. So when you integrate now, you're going to look at the entire picture when you're talking about CO2 and mitigation. And so it's not only the storage of carbon, we just look at the management in terms of nitrogen and what that might imply. And then we also have the utilization of machinery, the fuel. You have, in fact, if you look at the complete life cycle assessment, you can even be looking at fertilizer, the production of the fertilizer itself and the transportation. So if you want to look at the overall picture and compare something like conventional tillage with no-till, it's more than just the storage of carbon. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Then you need to look at the entire picture. Here is an attempt to do that. Still, not all the elements are here, but if we focus just in this element here, this is Pullman, the higher rainfall, the 550 millimeters we talk about. And this is the total emission, the blue bar. And this would be for the conventional tillage. This would be for the reduced tillage. And this would be for no-till. So let me explain a few things here. You have the emissions of N2O here. And you have a little bit of differential there. You have fertilizer production. Pretty much you're applying the same amount. So it's not much different there. And the fuel consumption, certainly, when you go from conventional to reduced to no-till, you're decreasing somewhat the use of fuel. What you have here, these bars are the sequestration. These are the delta. No, these are the absolute sequestration, actually. And so this much sequestration you have in the conventional, this much you have under reduced till, and this one under no-tillage. So again, when you combine all these factors, you have a big bar, a lower bar, and a very little bar. But clearly, if you look at the entire picture, still we cannot claim that no-till has contributing to mitigation, if you look at it from that perspective. Again, it's a matter of what is your baseline. This is debatable. I'm just showing the numbers here. And how you proceed to reward efforts depend on what baselines you're defining for your deltas. I think that's all what I have. Thank you.
Now it's time for a question.
Yeah. You're Rolf Sommer, aren't you?
The initialization of the pools for Century, you ran it for how many years? And what agricultural management did you assume?
Yeah, we used the conventional tillage as the management that has been done traditionally. Still, it's the predominant way, by the way, in the region. So you run that for as long as you need to stabilize the different pools in terms of the fraction that goes to each pool and the total carbon that you have in the pool. So essentially, we were not looking at any specific spot in the field. We were looking at these are the residue production that we know about. What is the carbon in equilibrium with that residue production in a steady state? So we reached that point after, I don't remember, we ran this for about 1,000 years. And then you get to that point, and then you apply the perturbation. And the deltas that I show here are after that perturbation is applied. Perturbation means moving to no-till or reduced tillage.
Thank you.